On the show today, we have Toronto's very own Meryl Albert. She's here talking about four rules for using dashboards to improve data quality. This is a blog post that she wrote recently, and so we dive into some of the details here, so check it out. Hey everybody, Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Well, welcome to our show, and on today's program, we have Toronto's very own Meryl Albert. Meryl, how are you?
Great. Hey, Mike.
Nice to see you. Nice to meet you as well.
Yes, we haven't talked before, I don't think.
Well, it's a first time for something somewhere. And we were commenting before the recording that I love your background because it says Trellence and data. And we're like, that's enough said right there.
It's a source of everything, good and bad.
You got it. That's right. Exactly right. So today we're talking about some really good stuff. We're talking dashboards today. And I love dashboards, by the way. So this is all based on a blog post that you wrote recently called Four Rules for Using Dashboards to Improve Data Quality. So I'm really anxious to get into this. But before we dive into those four rules, so what is the significance of dashboards for credit unions today, especially managing data? Because they've been around for a while, but right. When it comes to managing data, it's a whole nother beast, if you will. So, and dashboards are, in my opinion, are crucial in that area. So I want to get your take on this before we dive into the four rules.
Yeah, when we talk about data quality dashboards, they've been around for ages, probably decades, I'm sure. Fancy name for a report in one sense.
Yep,
but
right.
When we're talking about a data quality dashboard, there's generally two things you think of it. The first thing would be it's an overview of the health of your data. So you've got some sort of snapshot, and a lot of times people will kind of display it maybe as a stoplight. You know, your data quality is red, yellow, green.
Yep.
Or sometimes you'll see it as speedometer, you know.
I love it. Well, it simplifies it, in my opinion.
Right, so exactly. And so that's kind of the top level. But a good dashboard, you're able to drill down and find out, okay, if our data quality is not 100% good, what exactly is wrong with it? Because those are the things we're going to have to fix.
Well, and that kind of leads me into the four rules here. So the four rules for using dashboards to improve data quality. And we're all looking to improve our data quality for sure, especially with the amount of data that credit unions have. It's a lot. So let's start with number one here, Meryl, if you will. Always examine the causes of data quality problems. So can you expand on this one a little bit? Explain what you mean here. Always examine the causes of data quality problems.
Yeah, try to figure out, why did we have this data quality problem in the first place? So sometimes you look at your dashboard, and I like to use names and addresses because everyone can understand those. They're really simple. We all understand names and addresses. So if you go to your dashboard and you're seeing, okay, we've got a whole bunch of missing zip codes, it's really hard to hold yourself back and say, oh, I can fix that. That one's easy. I can look up zip codes. I can type those in.
Right.
Easy peasy.
Right.
And maybe you do eventually have to do that. But how did you get there in the first place? Maybe it was something like a teller was entering addresses when, you know, a member came in and was signing up. And they thought, yeah, we don't need this whole address. You know, everyone is, you know, needing my time. I'm not going to enter the whole thing.
Okay.
That's a pretty easy conversation to say, you know what, we really do need it.
Yeah, you need the whole thing. Yeah. So, right. Especially, our Amazon person sometimes doesn't get our address quite right. So we got to go to our neighbor's house and go, hey, that's my box over there. So, but anyway, I digress.
And then a bigger issue would be, what if you were getting a data file from some vendor? A lot of times it's not unusual. Credit unions get industry data. They get a data file, they load it in. And what if they didn't look first to see, well, did we get quality data from that vendor? Mm-hmm. And that's something where, okay, well, now we can go back to them and say, well, here's some things that you didn't send us.
Right.
And if this is something you're paying for, you've got a contract, you know, even a bigger issue. So now you can really go and, you know, hold them to the contract. Mm-hmm. You know, here's what is missing. Mm-hmm. Because some of the data can be really important, can really impact business decisions if you don't have it or you have incorrect values.
Yeah. Especially as we put more and more importance and significance on the data that's used every day. So yeah. So number two here, revisit the rules. Can you explain this one a little bit here?
Yeah, a lot of times you might think, well, I've got this dashboard, I'll just go in and, you know, look to see what the problems are. But who created that dashboard and what rules did they use to create it?
Yeah.
So, you know, let's say you just told someone, I'm really concerned about my data quality, I need a dashboard. You're talking to some IT programmer and they're like, yeah, no problem, I can create something for you. But if you don't give that person any guidelines, they're going to do what they think is right. Or maybe they are talking to someone, maybe they're talking to the person in marketing, they're getting guidelines from them, you know, which is great, but maybe what the marketing person says is not what the lending person would say.
That's right.
So you really want a collective effort to figure out what those rules are. Something like a phone number. You know, some people might think, well, a phone number is kind of optional. If we've got an email address and an address, you know, that's good enough. But there's definitely people who would say, no, we really need the phone number. We really want to think about our members, have a personal interaction. We want to be able to call them. Or maybe we're working on a loan document. There's a problem. We need to reach them right away. Oh, yeah. So that phone number can be really important. So if someone decided it wasn't, now you've got a whole bunch of missing phone numbers.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to get all that stuff set at the outset for sure. So now let's move to number three here. Give your metrics meaning. I really like this one. So can you enhance this one a bit?
You know, let's say someone tells you, our data quality is pretty good. It's green, or it's 80% good. I mean, what does that even mean? You know, it's maybe not 100% good, but is it good enough?
Yeah, yeah.
And you have to think about what you're doing with it. So let's say you were trying to do some analysis on where your members live, because you're thinking maybe there's an underserved area where we should consider opening a new branch. Probably one of the first things you're going to look at is zip code. So if you've got all your zip codes, that's great.
Yeah.
You know, you've got 100%. Maybe you've only got 80%. You have to make that decision. Is that good enough for you? Or are we willing to accept that 20% of our members, we don't exactly know where they live?
Yeah. Yeah. Good point. So, yeah.
Or maybe for you, what's important is knowing the exact street address. Bunch of those are missing. You still have all the zip codes. So, so what exactly are you using? So is it data that is of value to you? You really have to understand it. You can't just look at, you know, red, yellow, green, and well, now if you can move ahead.
And it seems like a question of accuracy too, right? Because if you only have 80% of the zip codes and you're planning to build a branch in a particular area that might be beneficial to your credit union, but you're only like 80% sure because that other 20% you don't know, that's not a clear picture to make a pretty hefty decision on building a branch in that area. So
exactly, clarity, that can be pretty significant when you don't know that much.
Exactly. Yeah. So I totally get it. All right. The last but not least one, number four here, use your dashboard as a communication tool. I love this one too. So can you expand on this one as well?
So if you just say, well, we've got a dashboard, are you expecting that people are going to go out to that dashboard and look at it and understand it?
Right. Good point.
A lot of times a dashboard can be within a data quality tool that only select people have access to. So that's the problem. But even if you say, okay, well, we'll post it to a SharePoint site. You're still expecting that people are going to go out and actually understand it.
Exactly. Oh my gosh.
You probably have to really walk them through it and say, okay, this is the data that we're missing, or this is the data that is kind of questionable. And the person who is using that data from the business side, they have to make that decision. Okay, is that good enough for us? Or should we hold off on what we're doing until the data quality can be improved? And then we can do the project that we want to do.
Yeah. I keep going back to like your typical dashboard in your car. And if you don't know anything about a car, I mean, say you're like a little kid or whatever, you're getting in the car and like, you don't know what a speedometer means. You don't know what a tachometer means. You don't know what the fuel gauge, all that type of stuff. But until you're educated on that and you know how to read a dashboard, in this case, a data analytics dashboard, then the meaning there is lost. So right. I think you'd have to educate those folks on how to understand that dashboard as well. So it's just not there to be cool. Right. It is, but you have to, I would assume you'd have to educate people on how to read it basically. Right.
Yeah. Cause if it was green or if it was a speedometer where you're looking at a certain range, it's still a range. It probably doesn't mean it's 100% perfect.
Right. Right.
And right. Maybe it's on the lower end of the range. So you're maybe going to question it a little bit more.
Yeah. And just to kind of round things out here, in your blog post, you used member addresses as an example. And we talked about the zip code part of it at the very beginning. Because can you expand on that one? Can you share this example of what you talked about in your blog post?
Yeah, I think with addresses, because people understand them so well, it's easy to talk about them with data quality. You've probably got, you know, more serious business issues that can be very specific to the credit union. But I would say every credit union I've talked to has at least some problems with names and addresses.
Yeah. Oh.
And it could be things like you've got missing zip codes, you've got missing street addresses. It could be that you're requiring all that information, but then, you know, the power of the people, they learn what that application will accept.
Yeah.
Okay, it requires me to enter a zip code. I really don't have time. So right. I'm going to enter 11111. All of a sudden, you've got a huge number of people living in a fictitious zip code.
Don't build a branch over there, all right?
Right. So that's one thing that can happen. Okay. And you also have to understand, well, how serious is it? So we've got portions of our addresses missing. We're sending out a marketing campaign. You know, maybe we think our addresses are 80% good. So is that good enough? 20% come back returned? Is that the cost of doing business?
Yeah.
You know, maybe people will decide that's okay. But what if you're trying to notify people that you had a data breach? You might say, well, 80%, I don't think that's good enough.
Oh, gosh. No way. No way. Yeah, especially when we're talking breaches, for sure. Oh, my gosh.
Right.
So one more question here for you, and this is just me and maybe my ignorance here, but when you're using a dashboard, are there other examples that you can have on a dashboard as well, like transaction data, lending data, that type of stuff? Are those types of examples, can they be implemented in a dashboard as well?
Yeah, absolutely. Anything that you're looking for a data quality on,
okay,
which is essentially every single data element you've
exactly.
got.
Which is, well, again, which goes back to the beginning, because credit unions have so much data, and to organize it, to analyze it, you need a dashboard to go in to simplify it. So yeah, so the significance of this stuff is huge, especially in today's day and age. So yeah, so anything else?
Yeah, and you're looking at things like, is some of our data missing, which I would say is the ultimate data quality problem, or, you know, is it just, you know, wrong? You know, only part of it is there, like back to zip codes. Mm-hmm. Someone entered just the number one because it was apparently a required field. So I'll just enter one, or I'll enter a space, you know, that will get me through to the next screen.
I hope nobody's doing that. Gosh, you know. So,
well, I know anytime I'm, you know, working with a company where I've got a problem and they make me enter a whole bunch of information just to get to a human to answer my question, it's, you know, I start learning, okay, what is the required field? Yeah, you know, what do I have to enter to get to that human?
Oh, that's true. Yeah, a good point there, for sure, for sure. So,
but alrighty, yeah, Meryl. Hopefully when we're talking about credit unions, people understand the importance of the data enough that they're not doing a lot of things like that.
Yeah.
I think a lot of it probably comes more from when you're acquiring a data set and bringing the data in.
Agreed. Yeah. Clarity and accuracy are very, very important here, so for sure. So anything else here to add to wrap up, Meryl? Any final thoughts on data and dashboards?
Well, I think the last thing I would say is when we talk about managing our data, there's three things that act on data. There's people, processes, and technology. Mm-hmm. The dashboard is your technology. Mm-hmm. So don't forget the people and the process. Yeah. That dashboard, it's not a magic tool. It's not going to fix your problems for right. you. It's going to tell you what you asked it to look for.
Exactly.
And then it's up to you to fix those problems. Yeah.
It's like AI. AI is only as good as the data that it has. So this dashboard exactly. is only as good as the data that it has. So yeah, that it's reading.
Yeah, I'm always questioning AI.
As well, you should. A lot of us
kind do. Of know some of the data that goes into it.
Good stuff. All right, Meryl. Well, thank you so much for your insights today. Really appreciate your expertise here, and look forward to getting this one posted. And appreciate your time, and look forward to the next chat down the road. Well done.
Excellent. Thanks a lot.
You are welcome.